Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Welcome to Exploring Missions, and we are in Nashville, Tennessee. Nathan, it's always good to be in Nashville.
It is. Can you hear the banjo and the guitar music in the background?
It is there. But we are at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference Convention. And we've been here several years, and it usually comes to Nashville every other year. It's always good to be here. Always good for you to drive up from Birmingham to Nashville and have you interview us, be together and do these interviews. I enjoy them a lot better when both of us are doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Face-to-face is so much better than other ways.
Now, we appreciate the other ways, but it's good to be face-to-face. And so we're excited. This is part two of an interview we started last weekend. You heard this, and this will be part two. We want to continue talking about beyond. Now, when I say beyond, Nathan, I'm not talking about the great beyond, but I'm talking about a ministry that's going beyond all that could ask or think, trusting Jesus Christ to bring laborers into the harvest, and then that harvest growing.
Yeah, that's right. Which is really, if you think about it, Jesus laid out for his followers originally, and it was even in the Old Testament. So we talk about this and discuss this and even do some in-depth Bible studies on God's heart for the nations in certain books of the Old Testament. Even it's in every page. But Jesus specifically laid out that harvest field vision, that multiplied harvest for his followers. And it took a little while for them to kind of catch on and get it. And I think it takes us a little while to catch on and get it. I think we need to hear things repeated several times before it kind of sinks in. And so that's what we want to do today. We want to talk to our special guests with us today from Beyond. And you can check out the website, beyond.org, and learn more about what God is doing around the world. But today we have Laura Humphreys and Krista Tidmore with us. And they're going to share more about what God is doing in this world. So, ladies, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
We do appreciate it. And it's exciting to see what God is doing in others. One of the things that I admire, we were talking about how Jesus did it, how Paul would do it in the book of Acts, is partnerships. And that's what Exploring Missions, we try to do. And that's one of the reasons we love to come to the NRB. Because at NRB, we see different people ministering in the name of Jesus, bringing people to Christ, and we love to partner with them to tell others, hey, you can join them and be a part of what God's up to. So tell us a little bit, and we did this last week. Tell us again how long you guys have been with Beyond, and then more than anything else today, Nathan, we want to hear some stories of individuals that lives have been changed. Because stories, let me say, I think Jesus, we called them parables, but yep, they were really stories. And some of them, the stories we have today are about real life people. But again, Laura, how long have you been with Beyond now?
I came on board in 2010.
That was a good year. Okay.
And I came on board in 2013.
But you've been there a while. And has it grown since then, ladies?
It has grown a lot. It has changed. Yeah. It has grown a lot.
Well, that is good because, start small, God blesses, it continues, and it seems like it takes root. I don't know if you know much about strawberry plants, but strawberry plants are amazing to watch them send out. You know, it's not roots underground, but it's the branches that are sent out, and then they fall to the ground, and guess what they do? They develop a root system, and they develop more strawberries, and then it goes to another one. And that's kind of what it is, church planting, we've talked about that. So we're excited about these stories that we're going to hear, aren't we, Nathan?
That's right. And Laura, I think you mentioned on our last episode a way for our listeners to go to the website and find some of these stories personally for them. What was that link?
Yes, if the listeners will go to www.beyond.org/NRB for the National Religious Broadcasters, you can have a free download of several stories there.
Awesome. Very good.
Well, we want to hear some of those stories. You ready?
Yes. So one story that I'll start out with is how one of the biggest movements that we have going that the Lord has just really transformed and spread in India. And it was a pastor that our team first came in contact with. They were there to do training and intentional disciple making. And he felt sorry for these guys from, you know, the West coming over and I feel sorry for them, so I'll go listen to their training. But the Lord changed his way of thinking and really changed his outlook and said, this is the way that I need to be doing it. Long story short, there's over 20 generations of growth now.
Wow.
In that movement. And this is a story of, it's an outside catalyst in that the person was sent from, you know, in this case, the United States of America to go to India. And then they partnered with the inside catalyst, let's call them. And that's how the Lord is working through most of the work that we're seeing. It's a combination. It's a partnership that way.
Now, let me ask a question, and maybe hopefully this is interesting to somebody besides myself, but I've noticed that inside-outside duo that you're kind of talking about at work in the sense, one sense anyway, is Jesus talked about sending out laborers into the harvest field, but they're to go and preach and heal and also identify, look for, notice a person of peace. And one thing that we've seen in missions is Westerners, outsiders, if you will, missionaries from one culture into another cross-culturally, really have a hard time identifying who that person of peace is. Many times it takes an insider to recognize that and for that to come forward at the beginning of a movement. And anyway, just are you guys seeing that? Is that what you're kind of noticing, that duo of a partnership is where the fruit really can be?
Yes, it's been noted at leadership levels, and it's discussed with strategic discussions with other organizations too, with what we're doing. I can give you an example that probably pertains directly to Krista sitting here. When I went through my discipleship training, she was one of those people, I think, that her role was to be the person who's distracting me. I think she's the person of peace.
I would have been perfect for that position.
She's sociable. She's lovely and welcoming. And that can be the case. But it could be that she wants to practice her English, or she wants to just, you know, have a new friendship. She's not necessarily the person of peace who opens up that whole people group to being able to hear the gospel.
Mm. And I think with that, Laura, that's spot on. And we tend to have expectations of what we think a person of peace will look like when the Lord has something very, very different in mind. And so we do look, it's funny you use me as an example, for the sociable, loud people, but really sometimes it's those that are more in the background mm-hmm. and those that nobody's looking at, but the Lord goes, oh, them, that's who I want.
When you see that, especially in Paul in the book of Acts and those people of influence, there's some of them are surprising. Alex and McFarland and I that do the program Exploring the Word, we talk about this. We talk about reluctant leaders. I was one of those. I was much more comfortable sitting in the classroom, not holding my hand up to ask a question or do anything, but listening to what others. But then, through the power of God, He brings about that person of influence that might surprise us, but it doesn't surprise God. And I know we got the song about David. We may see a shepherd boy, but God sees a king. That's true with so many people, Nathan. Yeah. And when ministries are involved in that, like we're talking about Beyond, and going to these communities and identifying that, and all of a sudden, it just, we're amazed at what God does.
Absolutely. And He can use anyone, even those of us that have maybe wrong expectations, unrealistic expectations. He can use us and grow us and change us, even on the mission field. And He could take that person maybe in the background, quiet, and He could turn them into a movement catalyst. God can do what you say beyond what we can imagine, right?
He frequently does.
Yes.
Okay, when we hear this and we hear these stories, that results in, we call two things come to my mind, two pictures. Concentric circles, the pebble in the pond, and it does make a ripple, but because of that, it makes continual ripples. But it also, like domino. Now, again, when I play dominoes, I don't count the numbers. I just stack them up side by side to push the first one down and watch the others fall down, you know?
Right.
But that is so true in sharing the gospel. That gives me a visual of what we're talking about. That one person that can start it, and then the barriers, those barriers that held a people group down, they begin to break. Because last week we were talking about those men. If we become followers of Christ, will we have to give up our manhood? Because in that culture, Laura, you said it was
beating their wives daily
was a part of being a man. And listen, God tears those barriers down, doesn't he, Laura?
He does. He's torn down more. And if we have time later, let Krista talk about the or now, if you want.
Go ahead, Krista. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, Bert, I found it interesting that you just brought up that visual of the ripples, because that is exactly what our logo was created by. And if you look at it, well,
yeah, I see it now.
Yes,
yeah.
It looks like a B, but it's two half circles that have a ripple that goes out. And you will see, I talk about this a lot when I'm sharing what we do with people, is it's the same thing like you see in water. When a rock goes into the water, it ripples out. The same thing is true with what we're doing with disciple making. It's disciples that make disciples that make disciples, which starts a movement, and those movements tend to start other movements. And we're seeing that happen in incredible numbers right now. And so it's this natural thing that happens both physically, but also spiritually. We're seeing the same thing happen.
And if you're only America-minded, and we see the church struggling in numbers, the church struggling in evangelism, but in other parts of the world, there's some explosions going on when it concerns people coming and following Christ. And Nathan knows this. We were talking about him earlier today, a man called Joseph Son, who's from Romania. And he was sent from Romania to America because there were too many believers, followers of Christ, that didn't want to kill him or imprison him because he'd still be in Romania, or he had become a martyr and they'd listen. So they sent him to America to get him out of the way. And he got on the radio and got to speak to all of Romania. That's what he was. But he said this, and I'll never forget it, and we're talking about in a lot of these places where we're talking about believers being multiplied again and again is in persecuted countries. And he said to live the real, true Christian life, it was easier to live the true Christian life under persecution than it was prosperity. I'll never forget that statement. And he says, I've lived them both, because true followers of Christ, Nathan, sometimes I look at myself, Bert, who are you to talk about this? But we've got brothers and sisters in all the world that are paying the ultimate price for following Christ.
Yeah. I know, Laura, you probably have some, you've had some experience seeing that with the work that Beyond is doing. It's costly to follow Christ in a lot of these places. In part, that's why some unreached peoples remain unreached, is because how difficult it is to get to get the gospel to them. There's a cost involved. It's a high cost, and it's even higher to follow Jesus in those places. I think you have maybe some things you could tell us about that.
Sadly, within the last year, Beyond saw the first martyrs in the movements. And what happened in one instance, this was in India, is that whenever the leaders of the movement would report back, there have been two people killed, but there were lots of imprisonments. And whenever they would talk about it and beatings as well, and we've seen videos. We've actually seen videos that our team shared with us when they talk about it, they say, oh, yeah, the persecution's going on, but this, but it's growing. That's like it. That's not the most important thing to them. Hmm. It's just a fact that they're acknowledging that there is persecution going on, but they're not turning away, and that causes others to look at them and say, "Wait a minute, what do they have? Why are they different?" So it naturally makes more people interested in them, and so we are seeing that. Especially in India, and then in another country in Southeast Asia, that there was a disciple maker who was also killed. The local police, probably on behalf of the local religion, threatened him to stop discipling, stop teaching, stop going to the other villages, and he didn't, and he was actually tortured. This is a man with 8 children, and with one of them being a young baby. Mm-hmm. And he didn't stop. And that we were very concerned about the church there, and they did not want to turn away. So we are seeing that. And like you say, it does make for more people coming to know Christ. And then, but also, as you say, whenever Jesus told us to go, he said to baptize, but he also said to obey, to teach them to obey all I've commanded. And when they're obeying, when these disciples are obeying, we're seeing some common threads throughout a lot of these movements and places where the gospel is spreading, is that when they're obeying, they are trying, they're doing what Jesus said, laying hands on and healing. Healings happen. And then the whole family, the whole village notices, and you've got that growth there. Yeah. That's a common theme. Another common theme that we've seen, many stories, is a wife who comes to know Jesus first, and she's not turning away. She may be beaten by her husband. She may be physically restrained. He may physically try to restrain her from going to study the Bible with other Christians. But the husband changes because the wife has changed.
Hmm. That's incredible.
You know, yeah. When I hear that, let me make this. I know you got something else. The Bible says, and in America it means something. It doesn't mean something different, but we translate it. They'll see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. What we see, okay, making a cake and taking it to them, and that's good. You know what I mean?
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Taking them to a hospital when they don't have a way. Oh, they're seeing my good works. But what I'm hearing here, my good works is suffering for Christ.
Yeah.
That grips me, Nathan.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a different world that many of us in this room and listening probably grew up in foreign experiences too.
And that's the beauty of America that we've had.
Yeah.
Okay? We're not down
in it's not bad to have that.
No, it's not. It's privilege. Amen. But it's still, we need to understand.
We have a lot to learn, I'll put it that way, from our brothers and sisters.
Praise the Lord.
Today, we're talking with Laura Humphreys and Krista Tidmore with Beyond. You can go to their website, beyond.org. Laura, one more time, tell us that special way of maybe a backstage pass to get access to some of these stories.
www.beyond.org/NRB.
All right. So hopefully you'll check that out. Krista, I want to kind of turn the conversation a little bit in a different direction. We did this last week too. Tell us a little bit about your role, and then I'm interested to hear how does your role with Beyond, but also research, like people groups research, prayer and mobilization, getting people into the work, into the harvest field. How does that work together?
Sure. Well, thank you very much. And my role with Beyond is as a mission mobilizer. And so most people don't know what that means. So I kind of say it's loosely related to recruiting, but I think the difference in recruiting and mobilization specifically is I'm not looking for, or in mobilization, we're not looking for people who are already ready to go, but it is keeping eyes out for people
who have raw material that the Lord has already been working with. Their hearts are being drawn to missions, to people groups, to these different things that God is doing, and finding these people through various ways, conferences. We have people reaching out online, and there's different ways that we connect with people. But in mobilization specifically, it is helping people take the very next step. So again, I use my own personal story a lot to help people see what,
yes,
what that next step could look like. And so most people that I talk to either don't have any unbelieving friends or anyone in their life that is not a Christian. And so it's encouraging people, okay, if you're wanting to move in the direction of disciple making, and that's something that the Lord is asking you to step into, which it is. He is asking all of us to step into that. It's in His Word.
No one's left out.
No one is left out here. And so with that, what would it take for you to take the next step to be able to have your life reflect some of the things the Lord is asking you to? So simple ways, like maybe go to a restaurant where most of the staff or the people that go to the restaurant probably don't follow Jesus. What are ways that you can get connected in your church that would allow you to step into things that might stretch you a little bit? So for me personally, I just to have an outlet for being among the lost, I started getting involved in international student ministry at a local university where I live. And that allowed me some open doors. And so in mobilization, I help challenge people, but also provide resources for ways that people can get connected in that next step. So some people might be further down the road in that. And so it is helping to provide those resources for people to see what they could do next. Not 10 steps down the road, yeah, but just the next step. And I see actually prayer, Nathan, you mentioned prayer as one of those. And this actually feels a bit challenging in a way to say, but I really see, I feel the need to say it, that a lot of times we make things that we love an idol. Mm-hmm. And I've even seen missions become an idol for people, and even people groups become an idol. And one of the things I really try and challenge people in is if what we're doing and the things that we are pursuing, even if they're good and godly, are not pursuing Jesus first and His kingdom first, then it's going to become idol status for us. Yeah. And I've seen that. And so one of those areas that I really try and challenge people in is, what is your first love? Is it Jesus? And is what He's calling us to because of a deep love for Him? And so really a lot of what I point people to is spiritual disciplines, developing those spiritual disciplines of prayer and being in the Word, because that really is the foundation for this.
I thought of this, and I want you guys to listen and see if you think it's right. You know, we've probably talked to some people that may have tried something new in missions and feel like a failure. I know of that. I've heard of that. And they,
they start taking a few steps and then come up against some difficulty.
And they turn back. I remember the story about Jesus when He went to the fishermen, and they had fished all night and not caught a single thing. But Jesus said, okay, guys, throw your nets out on this side for a drop, for a great reap. And they said, oh, well, He said it. I know there's no need of doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway. And they got a whole net full so much that it broke. I got a feeling there's some people that we're talking to right now that said, I tried that mission trip stuff and it didn't work. I tried to share this in my faith and somebody slapped me down. I want to just tell you, Jesus makes it possible for you to get up off of the deck and do it again.
I did that after I preached my first sermon, Nathan. If it hadn't been for the us in place of 10 minutes, it'd have been 5 minutes. But anyway, God, the reason I want to bring this up, we're talking to an audience that's mostly Christian. Got a feeling we may have some that are unbelievers. They come to Christ. But God wants you to bloom where you're planted as well. And then he might transplant you. Sounded like he did that for you, especially, Laura. Here you were in Atlanta, and you're not in Atlanta anymore.
I have come back to Atlanta.
Went to Texas and then came back?
I went to England and came back.
Oh, wow. Yes, okay. Yes. So you've been transplanted two or three times.
Yes.
But what would you say that? You had to be willing. And that's what I want to end this program on. Are we willing?
One more step. Yes. Just what's the next step? And listen, and he will tell you. That happens in all of our movements. And I know Krista does that, challenges people.
Yes.
We ask him and we listen, and we do that at Beyond and in all that we do. We listen.
Yeah, just a small step of obedience, a small act in faith, like planting that small little seed, strawberry or
whatever.
Like Jesus used a mustard seed.
Yeah. And, you know, when I hear that preaching, you know, and child, I said, take the first step and he'll meet you. Matter of fact, if you take the first step, he'll carry you. He wraps us up in his arms and loves us, and he takes us to a place where we can really be used of God. Yeah. And that's what we want to talk to you about as we come to the close of this program. Let God use you where you are, and then it may open doors to other places, as it has you two, ladies, and it has for you, Nathan, it has for me. But again, tell us the website, because we want people to know that they can get this.
Yes, the website is www.beyond.org. And if you're one of those people that would just like to take a next step, the next step, you can reach out to us at recruiting@beyond.org. And we can help get those resources and provide you that very next step.
You may be the one that needs to go to Beyond. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions here on AFR.